Hope you guys are all right. We spent a little extra time in worship this morning. I don't like doing church by the clock. I'm sorry. It's just... Neither does Bill.
Just a reminder, it's Pastor's Appreciation Month. And so sign the card and put something in the treasure box for him. Let's fill that treasure box. And don't forget, the 25th is going to be the Dish to Pash dinner. So we'll be thinking about all the delicious food you can bring. It'll be wonderful. Thank you.
Amen. I got to say, every time we do have a church dinner, it is delicious. And it is a good time. So I'm looking forward to that. Yes, Lloyd. Amen. We were waiting for him to walk in the room, weren't we? Hallelujah.
That was amazing. We were singing that song and he came into the room.
Amen. I've got 20 minutes ish. Is somebody geared up to take the kids downstairs today? If not, we can keep them upstairs if nobody's. I didn't see anybody jump, so we'll just.
I was planning on
a. You were planning? Oh, you were the plan, but you're sick.
I
see.
For me.
Oh, you'll survive. No. You'll survive. No, that's all right. Stay. That's all right.
No, they. Are
Karina and Mac are graciously. Okay, children, if you must. Amen. Lord, bless the Wolf family and the children that they will be enjoying today. We also, next week, my wife and I are going to get a little treat from the district. They're sending us to Buffalo to do a little conference for Convoy of Hope, and we're looking forward to that, and we're going to spend the weekend in Buffalo. And so next week I have asked my friend and my brother in the Lord, Mike Ruiz, to share. I said, share your testimony, but I trust Mike, and I trust that whatever the Lord puts on his heart, he will share, and you will be blessed by him. Which reminds me, those of you who help out with worship, we've got to figure out kind of the worship too, but we'll work on that during the week. But anyway, so that's coming as well. Hallelujah. I am blessed. I really am. I want to continue going forward with our Master Series, and I want to continue. I've been looking forward to this verse, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. And I really have been wanting to get to the power part. You will receive power. But every time I step out and I head in that direction, God just says, wait a minute. Just hold on a little. We're going to get there. Today I want to just be obedient to the Lord. What I did is I wrote out that verse along with, remember last week I gave you the meanings of the city, names of the cities. And so I wrote out the verse with those meanings, and I changed one of them, and so I want to go over it just one more time. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me both in Jerusalem, which means peace, and in all Judea, which means with all praise. And it means he shall be praised. And in Samaria, which the word for Samaria is guardian. And last week I said with God's authority, because a guardian is somebody who has authority. And so... But I was thinking about that, and this morning it came to me that with Jesus watching over us, the word Samaria being guardian, with Jesus watching over us to the uttermost part of the earth, which is until the end, until the earth comes to an end. If you really look at what the word to the uttermost part means. It means to the extent of it, to the extreme. And so we are to receive power and be witnesses for Jesus in peace with all praise as he watches over us until the end of the earth. And I just can't get this message out enough. God has a purpose and a plan for you and for me, and we need to be busy about doing that purpose. You know, we get so focused on our own salvation sometimes that we forget that there's more to it, and that God wants us to do something with that gift that he's given us and share it with others. And so I think it would be a good thing to change our approach and start approaching people and say, let me tell you about Jesus. We were being a little kind before. Can I tell you about Jesus? Give them the option. Whatever works for you as the Spirit leads, that do. Now, there's two parts to this verse. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And the two parts that we need to talk about first is you shall receive power, but then after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And I wanted to go to the power. It's all I want to do is get to the power. How many want the power? Yeah, can't wait to get to the power. But as I read that line, it was like, oh, okay. I think we need to talk about after the Holy Ghost has come upon you first. Because if you do not have the Holy Ghost having come upon you, you don't have the power. And so it's important that we keep things in perspective and we understand. We all want power. We all want. But you know what? I run around and I fellowship with a lot of church people. And there's a lot of people that want the power, but they don't all want the Holy Ghost. Believe it or not. And so we need to keep things in perspective. And I see a lot of people who are out there claiming to have the power, yet they're doing it in their own power and they don't have any Holy Ghost in them. And it's very, if we want the fullness of the blessings of God to spew forth out of our lips in the work of God, out of our hands, in the beauty of God to come upon the mountains of the feet that we tread, then we need the Holy Ghost upon us. And so it says, after the Holy Ghost has come upon us, I'm going to try to go through this quickly because I have 15 minutes. I got a lot of scripture. I only got one page of notes, praise God. But it's going to take a long time. Look at Luke chapter 1. We're going to look at the first four people who the Holy Ghost came upon in the New Testament. There's something out there called the law of first mention. My wife and I were reading a book recently, and it talked about the law of first mention. And the first thing it talked about was how in the garden, you know, God established the family. You know, Genesis, you know, the first couple of chapters there, there's a lot of things that are first mentioned. And as soon as there's something that's mentioned first, that kind of sets a precedent for all the rest of Scripture. And so if you read, you know, the book we're reading is talking about family and things. And what's the name of that book? How to Devil Proof Your Family. Something we picked up at Walmart. It just looked like a good title. We're like, okay, let's read that. How to Devil Proof Your Family. Devil Proof Your Family. Yeah. Yeah, well, amen, sister. Rebuke that devil. And so anyway, God set a precedent at the beginning of Genesis that families, it's all about family. He created us because he wants family. He wants us to be part of his family, and on. Anyway, that's another whole message. But in Luke, we find the first people who were given the Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit was poured upon. And I want to take a look at them so that we can see the first mention of the Holy Ghost given and what the purpose was for, okay? Because I also know a lot of people who do desire the Holy Spirit, yet they don't know what the purpose is for. All they want is the blessed me club. I've been to many services, and perhaps some of you have well. You know, they call them, sometimes they call them conferences, sometimes they call them outpourings and renewals and all this stuff. And what I find there is a lot of people that want to get in the presence of God, and they just want to be blessed by God. They want to feel His presence, and there's nothing wrong with that, but that is not the end. There is a purpose and a plan. Whenever God pours out His Spirit on you, it's not just about you receiving this wonderful holy goosebump blessing. Anybody ever experienced the holy goosebumps? Yeah. It's an awesome thing, isn't it? He did this morning. Amen. This very day. Praise God. I want you to notice something in Luke chapter 1. In verse 3, if I can find it, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus. Does that sound familiar? Most excellent Theophilus. Luke is writing a letter to Theophilus, and he's going to write the book of Luke to Theophilus in order to get the order of account straight. The things that were said, the things that were done. The reason why I bring that up is because remember back in Acts chapter 1, what he said? A former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commands to the apostles. And so Luke and Acts are kind of a continuation. Luke is writing letters to Theophilus. He wants Theophilus to get the whole picture. So he starts with Luke at the beginning, writing him this about the birth of Christ, and we're going to read about that in a moment. And then after all of that, he goes on to write to Theophilus in Acts about the birth of the church. And it's really interesting. I just find that interesting. I hope you do too. Now, the purpose of the Holy Spirit coming on the first four people that I want to talk about was to bring Jesus, to turn hearts to Jesus. It was to bring forth Jesus, to turn hearts to Jesus, to bring praise to Jesus, and to proclaim salvation has come through Jesus Christ our Lord. Look at verse 13. Luke chapter 1, verse 13. The angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias." You know who Zacharias is? John the Baptist's father. "For your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit." Now here, an angel is telling Zacharias that his son is going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But keep going. "Even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God." Now, do you see what he just said? The angel's telling Zacharias, your son is going to be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. There's a purpose why John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a purpose why you and I are filled with the Holy Spirit, to turn the children of Israel to the Lord their God, or to turn all of the children of the earth to the Lord our God. Verse 17, "He will go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah." The spirit and the power of Elijah. What's our verse? You shall receive what? Power after the Holy Ghost comes on you. And so here the angels proclaiming to Zacharias, you know what? Your son is going to have the Spirit of God put upon him. He's going to turn the children of Israel to the Lord. And he's going to have power. The power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. That is awesome. How many know that in today's day, and maybe you'll hear a little bit of this next week, because I know my brother Mike, and he loves to talk about fathers, being fathers. Whether or not he does, that's up to him. But the spirit of Elijah, power to turn people to Jesus, to turn the fathers, hearts of the fathers to the children. How many know in today's age we need fathers to step up and pay attention to their children and raise them up the way that God would have them to raise them up? The reason why our society is what it is today is because there's too many fatherless kids out there. Just read about what goes on in Geneva this week. A young man, I believe it said 16 years old, picked up for burglarizing houses. Another 16-year-old arrested for headbutting a 12-year-old on a school bus. I mean, it's just, and that's just two. There's a lot more. They need fathers. It says, turn hearts to the fathers, to the children, and the disobedient, to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. There's a purpose for the Holy Spirit being poured on you. And so Zacharias proclaims, or there we find where it's proclaimed that the Holy Spirit will be on John. But look at verse 30. Talking about Mary. The angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Mary here is being told by the angel, by Gabriel, the Holy Spirit is going to come on you, and you are going to come forth, and you're going to bring forth the Son of God. You see, there's always a purpose for the Holy Spirit being poured on people, and it's to bring forth Jesus. It's to proclaim Jesus. Elizabeth, verse 39, now Mary arose in those days, went into the hill country with haste. The city of Judah entered in the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. Happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out loud with a loud voice, saying, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Who's that? Who's the fruit of her womb? Jesus. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Now look at what Mary does. You see, Elizabeth there is filled with the Holy Spirit, and immediately she speaks blessing. And then the result of her blessing Mary and blessing the fruit of her womb, Jesus, Mary sings this song. Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. Behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. He has spoke to our fathers Abraham and to his seed forever. All of a sudden, the Spirit gets poured on Elizabeth. She pours out a blessing on Mary. Mary pours out a blessing on the rest of us. Do you see what's taking place? There's a reason and a purpose why the Holy Spirit is poured out. Remember, we talked about advancing God's kingdom. That's what it's all about. If you're asking for the Holy Spirit for your own consumption, then you're missing the whole point. But when we ask for God to fill us with his Holy Spirit, it would be to advance his kingdom, to lift up the name of Jesus Christ, to pour out blessing upon the people of God. I got to keep going. I hate doing church by the clock. I'm running out. Now, verse 67. Now his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, has raised up the horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And you can keep reading, and for the sake of time, I'll let you read that on your own at another time. But here we see John the Baptist, we see Elizabeth, we see Mary, and we see Zacharias, all specifically, it says, being filled with the Holy Spirit, and each one of them advanced the kingdom of God by proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. The purpose for all four of these is, again, to bring forth Jesus, to turn hearts to Jesus, to give praise to Jesus, and to proclaim salvation has come through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, sister, you got it right. Let me tell you about Jesus. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, wherever you are, whatever it is you're doing, and you feel him just beating in your chest, saying, tell him about Jesus. Wherever you are, just the closest person to you. Or if God puts a name in your mind, or wherever you find yourself with that just conviction of the Spirit to just tell somebody, then tell somebody. Remember, the law of first mention, every time in the New Testament, in these first four people, when the Spirit had fallen upon someone, it brought forth Christ. Now, let's go look at Acts chapter 2. How do you like my slides today? Pretty. Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, the other tongues part, I'm going to talk about that in another day. But don't be afraid. The Bible talks about, and a few weeks ago I talked about the verse where it said, not many days from now you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Them that believe shall be baptized and be saved. Okay? And then it talks about that they'll pick up servants. I got to calm down a little bit. I get excited about this stuff. They'll lay the hands on the sick, and they'll recover, and they'll speak with other tongues. And I looked up that particular verse. I didn't do it this moment. Again, we'll talk about that another time. But the word speak there with other tongues literally is talking about just utterances, sounds, syllables, just things. I'll get into that later. But that's not something to fear, but that's very interesting that on the new church, the Holy Spirit was poured out on all of them. That's my prayer. That in the church, all the church, not just Geneva Assembly of God. Oh, by the way, that's the other announcement. November 6th. November 6th is a Friday night. I've been asked to speak at St. Paul's Church. They're having a 50-year anniversary. And now, if you know St. Paul's Church, it's one of the more prominent black churches in the city, and they called me to speak there. Oh, it's going to be a good time. I hope you all go. On North Street. It's a Baptist church. And that's what led me to it, because I want the Holy Spirit not just on Geneva Assembly of God. I want it on the Baptists. I want it on the Catholics. I shouldn't say I want it. I believe God wants it on the Baptist, and God wants it on the Catholics, and God wants it on every single church that lifts up the name of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit was poured out on them all on the day of Pentecost. And then it says, there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, one side of each of them. Verse 4, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Men from every nation under heaven at that time were there. And it says that when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born?" Let me just say something here. God speaks everyone's language. You and I speak English. But you know what? Just because we speak the same English doesn't mean our language is always the same. You hear what I'm saying? My language might be a little different than your language. And I'm not talking about the syllables and the words that come out, but the life that's lived. God speaks your language. He knows exactly what to say to your heart to draw you to Him. Are you listening? God speaks the language of your loved ones. Trust Him. Call on Him. Say, "God, speak a language that they will hear. Speak a language that will draw them. Speak a language that will change them." How many of us have people that need some change? Amen. We all do. Some of them seems like they need a little change. Some of them seems like they need a lot of change. Some of you are looking at me and saying, "Pastor, I wish you would change." But God speaks their language. They have to hear. When God speaks your language, you have to hear. Now, what was the purpose of all this? Acts chapter 2, you go on farther. You see, between here and these particular verses I'm going to show you, Peter stands up with boldness and preaches a message. The same Peter who denied Christ, the same Peter who, after Jesus had appeared to them, said, "You know what, I'm going fishing. I'm out of here." Now all of a sudden the Holy Spirit's poured out on Peter and he stands up with boldness and courage and power and he preaches a powerful message, and it gets to the end here toward in verse 38 of that chapter, chapter 2. Then Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is to you and to your children, to all that are far off, even as many are as the Lord our God has called." And verse 41 says, "Then they gladly received his word, were baptized, and the same day were added to the church about 3,000 souls." What was the purpose of the Holy Spirit being poured out in that upper room? To grow the church, to advance God's kingdom, so that those who were in participating that day, those who were in the room, who experienced that outpouring of God's Spirit, would be able to stand up and proclaim the name of Jesus Christ to the lost and see them saved. There's a purpose in what it is that we're doing. Look at what Peter says. Repent and be baptized. Remember, we talked about this word baptized, which means changed. Repent and be changed, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. What did John the Baptist start preaching? And what did Jesus start preaching? They both had the same message when they started their ministries. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent for the remission of sin. Be baptized. Be changed. It's the same message. It's the same message. I find it just incredible that we need the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon us so that when we speak the same message, it has power. How many times did somebody say to me before I got saved, "Hey, you need Jesus," and I didn't hear it? And there was nothing there. But oh, when somebody with the power of the Holy Spirit started speaking Jesus to me, I changed. It had an effect. You want your witnessing to be powerful? You want your telling of others about Jesus Christ to be fruitful? Then we need the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We need to be changed by the power of the Holy Spirit, a filling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Understanding the plan and the purpose for it. Look at Luke chapter 24, verses 46 to 49. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day." Now, there's a reason why it was important for that to happen, because if Jesus didn't rise, none of us were ever going to rise. Do you know that? That's why it was important for him to do that. Verse 47, "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." You see what that message is saying there? That repentance and the remission of sins should be preached in his name among all Jerusalem. And then he tells them about the promise of the Father, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit being poured out upon the church. Why? To win the lost. Period. To win the lost. God has given you an experience, perhaps. Maybe he has given you, Holy Ghost goosebumps, perhaps. Maybe, I'm telling you what, we could have still been singing songs. I know some of you might have been like, "Oh boy, he's going to sing another one." But I'll tell you what, just being in his presence this morning is wonderful. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. But you know what? Whenever he shows up, I want to say, "Thank you, Jesus. Now let me go tell somebody. Let me go win some." Because it's all about repentance, remission of sins, turning our hearts, lifting up the name of Jesus, turning our hearts to Jesus Christ, the Savior of our soul. Praise the Lord. Stand with me this morning. Hopefully next week, we're going to talk, or not next week, 2 weeks. Hopefully next week you'll experience somebody who's functioning under the power of the Holy Spirit. And the week after that, we're going to hopefully talk about the power. But until then, let's just call on him and ask him to fill us. Lord, come and fill us, each and every one. We want to be baptized, forever changed by your Spirit, O God. Father, I pray a blessing over each and every child of God standing here in this place today. Lord, that we would be so empowered and filled by your Holy Spirit that our lives would never be the same again. God, that each one standing here would be a representation of thousands turning their hearts to you due to the power of the Holy Ghost being placed upon us. Pour out your Spirit upon all flesh as you declared that you would in these last days, on your sons and on your daughters, that we would all prophesy. God, that we would win this city for the glory of God, to build your family in your kingdom, in your way. Bless each one with this great outpouring in Jesus' name. Anointing, fall on me. Anointing, fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing, fall on me. Amen. If you just want more of the Holy Spirit of God, I encourage you,
You know, you can spend some time around this altar, spend some time lingering in his presence. Just ask him to fill you, ask him to empower you, ask him to bless you and change you and baptize you with his spirit today. Anointing. Church, we'll be back tonight at 6 o'clock, continuing in our Bible study. We've been talking about faith and anointing and the glory of God. Tonight I believe we're going to talk about miracles and casting out demons and stuff like that. It's good, makes for good conversation. Be blessed this afternoon. And by the way, if you think of it, throw a prayer for my dad. His name is John too. He turned 82. Today, he turned 82. And he's still going strong, and I just love it. And it's awesome. God's blessed him with strength. Amen.